Matthew 14, beginning to read at verse 22. The story we're going to read this morning concerns the miracle of Jesus walking on the water and the miraculous water walk that Peter experienced on that day. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship, that is the ship in which the disciples were sailing, was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And well, how many of you believe he really did that? I mean, do you really believe that he did? Have you ever seen anybody else ever do that? Have you ever seen that done? Why do you believe he did? Ah, because the Word of God is trustworthy and dependable. Because even if the Word of God says the ridiculous, even if the Word of God declares the impossible, even if the Word of God records something that is absolutely incredible and unbelievable in any kind of natural understanding, we know that it's true. Because those things that are verifiable, we find in our experience to be true. The Word of God says, listen, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ye shall be saved. Guess what happens to every person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ? He gets saved. And he knows it, see? That gives us confidence to know that these things that are unverifiable in an actual way, we have confidence that they're true because the ones that we can verify are true. Amen. So Jesus is walking across the Sea of Galilee on top of the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit or it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. A familiar story, isn't it? We want to say about Peter, we want to concentrate on Peter's experience on the night in which he denied Jesus three times. The thing that we seem to remember most about Peter is that Peter, in a time of great distress, could not even acknowledge that he knew the Master. But before we come down too hard on Peter, it seems to me that we ought to try some water walking. Before we get too distressed at Peter's failure, we ought to try some water walking. The story is so familiar to us. Jesus had sent the disciples on ahead to the other side. It was his intention that they should arrive on the other side since he sent them to the other side. When they got approximately halfway across, Matthew records they were in the midst of the sea. The wind came up and the sea was very boisterous. The waves were high and they were frightening and the disciples were afraid. They were afraid they'd be swamped. They were afraid they would die. They were afraid they would drown. Jesus, knowing where they were and the circumstances that they were in and the fear that had gripped them, he walks out to them on the water. as he gets close, he appears to them to be an apparition coming across this wind-blown sea. And they all cried out, "It's a ghost, it's a ghost, it's a ghost." And Jesus utters those familiar words, "Don't fear, but be of good cheer, it's I." Peter wasn't really sure that it was him. If it was him, he wasn't sure what effect he would have on the storm, but he said, "Master, if it's really you, then bid me to come to you on the water. For I know you're a miracle worker. I know you can do wondrous things. And so if that's really you out there, you bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said one word. He said, "Come." And on the strength of that one word that Jesus uttered, Peter stepped out of the boat. And we understand, we use this story many times as we talk about what faith really is. Faith is believing to such a degree that you're willing to act on it. You see, for Peter to have expressed faith in what Jesus had said, it was necessary for him to get out of the boat. For Peter to have just said, "Oh, okay, I recognize your voice. I know that's you. Come on in the boat." That would not have been faith. That would have been simply an intellectual assent to the fact that it was Jesus. But faith without any action, James tells us, isn't faith at all, is it? And so Peter really demonstrated what appears to us here to be really solid faith in the fact that he did step out onto the water. Now, I don't know how you perceive that, but I perceive that as a step of great boldness and great courage and great faith. That he would, knowing, water doesn't hold people up. Peter had never seen water that held people up. I never have either. I've got to tell you, I don't know whether I would have that kind of courage to put my foot actually on the water and commit myself. When you do that, you're committing yourself to the deep. But Peter did. As he stepped out of the water, guess what happened? He was able to walk on it. He didn't sink. But as he walked towards the Lord, the wind was still boisterous, the waves were still rolling, and as he walked towards the Lord, he took his eyes off the Lord, apparently, and he looked at the noise around him, and he looked at the wind, and he looked at the boisterous sea, and he lost sight of the object of his faith. He began to concentrate on the threatenings that were around him, and all of a sudden he began to sink. For it wasn't the water that was holding him up. It was his faith. The water did not have the power to hold him up, but his faith did. Jesus said, "With God, nothing's impossible." He said, "If you'll believe, you can do anything." There's a power in faith that very few of us have ever really touched. When he lost his faith, he lost his footing, and he went down. Fortunately, on the way down, he knew where to cry for help, and he cried out to the Master, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out his hand just that quickly in answer to that request and took him by the hand and lifted him back onto the surface of the water again. And then very quickly, the Scripture says, they found themselves in the boat. Jesus remonstrated the disciples, especially Peter. I don't know why he chose Peter when no other disciples stepped out of the boat, but apparently this lesson was for him. He said, "O thou of little faith, why did you doubt?" I see us in this story. I see me. I see you. I see all of us. I see life here. Where do I see it? Maybe you see it as well. Let me read down through these verses again and see if we can put ourselves in this situation. In verse 24, it says that the ship in which the disciples were sailing was in the middle of the sea. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Well, I'd like to find a shore somewhere. Now, I'd like to just find some solid ground somewhere. I'd like to find some land somewhere. But every place I look, I seem to be in the middle of this open water. There are times when it doesn't seem that there's any place that you can find some solid footing. And life is like that. Life is full of all kinds of uncertainties. I've only found one certainty in life. I've lived 55 years, almost 56. I have only found one certainty in life, and you know who he is. His name is Jesus. Everything else is at best uncertain. Those things that we put our confidence in this life will only hold us up for a period of time. They are uncertain. Only one thing is sure. Someone wrote a hymn about putting our feet on the solid rock. On the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. There's only one solid rock. That's Jesus. Life is like that. No matter where you put your confidence in your father will disappoint you. You put your confidence in your job and your company will go out of business. You put your confidence in your government and your Congress will change the law. Sinking sand. Sinking sand. Put your confidence in your pastor. He'll disappoint you. Sinking sand. Life is like that. It's like a sea. And in that sea, very often, the wind comes up. Verse 24 says, the disciples found that the sea was tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. If I said to you that the circumstances of life are for the most part contrary, would you say amen? Have you lived long enough to know that that's true? The winds of this life are for the most part contrary. They're against us. Jesus said it this way, as long as you are in this world, you will have tribulation. But he also said, listen to this, it's not curious that he said, but be of good what?
Cheer.
Don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. I am stronger than the wind, no matter how contrary it is. Now what happens is the contrary winds. I shared with you a few weeks ago about the contrary wind of public opinion on how we ought to discipline our children. AKA the poor lady in Cumming, Georgia who got messed up in the Winn-Dixie up there. You remember the story that I was telling you, and that became a national story. The winds of this world are contrary to the way that God wants us to live. And what happens is those winds, if you've ever watched a calm, I used to do a lot of fishing. I'd like to be able to do more of it. I enjoyed it. But when you're out on the lake, that lake can be as calm. This is just a small lake now, but it can be as calm, just like glass. You could see yourself in it. But in 10 or 15 minutes, that thing could threaten your life. And the sea of life is worse than that. It can look very calm one minute, and all of a sudden comes a contrary wind, and your life is a shambles, and it threatens you. The waves are boisterous. And you wonder, how am I going to handle this? You go to work one day. You've been working at that company for 18 years. Everything is cool. You arrive at work that day, a wind blows out of Detroit, and you've lost your job before noon. Amen. It happens. Now, I'm not speaking that prophetically over anybody, but it happens. It occurs. Well, we're downsizing. The sea was tossed with waves and the wind was contrary. But notice what the master's response was to the situation that the disciples found themselves in. Verse 25 says, Jesus went unto them. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it speaks volumes to me. Jesus, what we think we found him. We couldn't find our way out of a paper bag. We didn't find him. He found us. He wasn't lost. We were the ones that were lost. He found us. Jesus went to them. God always takes the initiative. See, the Lord is not waiting until things get so desperate for you that you come find him. In fact, it says in the Word of God that Jesus says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's no sea, there is no wind, there's no place that you can be, no circumstance in this life that you can be that he is not coming to you wherever you are, no matter what that circumstance is. Jesus went to them. Now, how did he get to them? He got to them in a miraculous way. You say, well, Jesus can't do anything about this situation. See, there are no circumstances in this life that make his intervention on your behalf impossible. See, here was a case. They were, now this is a, Jesus here, this is a man. This is a man. This is a man just like you or me. And men don't walk on water. But this man did. Why did he walk on water? Did he walk on water because he wanted to impress somebody? He walked on water because his kids were in trouble. He walked on the water because his kids needed him. And maybe I should save this for later, but it just comes to mind right now. And if it comes to mind right now, I think I better share it. In Isaiah, let's see if I can find this. Isaiah 49:16, Sally. Isaiah 49:16. What's it say? Somebody read it for me. Do you see that? God said, I have engraved you on the palm of my hands. I have engraved you. I've cut you into the palms of my hands. You're such a part of me. Remember that? You're never away from me. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy circumstances is what he's referring to here. Thy circumstances are continually before me. Nothing's going on in your life that I don't know about. And so Jesus knew, even though he was, what was he doing when his disciples got into trouble? What was he doing? He was what? No. No. Yeah. What was he doing? Verse 23. He was in a mountain praying. Now that says something to me too. Do you think that prayer, communion between the Son and the Father, was important to the Son? Was there anything more important to the Son? There was in this case. What was more important than his fellowship with his Father? What was more important? His followers, his people, his family. Does that do anything for you? It surely does for me. It says that they will interrupt whatever they're doing in heaven in order to take care of me. They will interrupt whatever's going on in heaven in order to intervene in my life if I need it. It also says that if they have not intervened in my life, then my ship's not going down. Are you listening? Even though it may be tossed, even though the wind may be screaming, even though the waves may be boisterous, it means my ship's not coming down. If Jesus is not on the water coming towards me, my ship is in no danger. So what do? I laugh at the wind. I laugh at the waves. And I sing praises to my Father. or I sleep. You know, there was another event like this, where the winds were boisterous and the waves were threatening a ship. On that ship, you remember, Jesus was aboard. He slept through it. No danger. So Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Their first reaction was they were frightened. It's a ghost. They'd never experienced anything like this before. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. It's me. I'm here. Be of good cheer. There's no reason for you to be afraid. It's me." Which says to me that oftentimes when God is sending the answer to our problem, we don't recognize the answer when we see it. Sometimes the very thing that He is sending to resolve our problem frightens us. Now you think about that just a moment. Sometimes the very solution to our problem, when we first see it, let me give you an example. This one just comes to mind. There are hundreds. This one just comes to mind, and it's a job-related kind of an example. You're an employee with a firm that is in great upheaval. In your company, the winds are blowing and the waves are boisterous, and your ship is really rocking. And you're praying, "God, I don't know what is going to happen in this company, but I can't hardly stand it. My boss is an ogre. My customers hate me. My products aren't any good. My support isn't any good. Everything I touch seems to turn to mud. I need some help." And the next day in your envelope, you get a pink slip. Amen. Whoa, I got fired. Whoa, he's a ghost. You understand? The very thing that God is sending to deliver you from your distress scares you to death. But God's got another job for you, or another opportunity for you, or a self-employed situation, any number of things that He may be doing for you. But when you first see when you see Him coming on the water, He frightens you. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer." Why? It's me. I know I look like a ghost, but it's me. I know I look like disaster ready to happen, but it's me. I know it looks like your world is falling apart. You're out here in the middle of the sea, and it looks like you're going to drown, but a ghost is going to get you before you can drown. Hey, I've been there. I've been there. The ghost is so frightening, I'd rather drown. It's me. It's me. Don't be afraid of it. It's I. Be of good cheer. Don't be fearful. Choose to be cheerful rather than fearful. Peter said, "All right, if it's really you, give me a sign. Give me a sign. I need some kind of miracle here to hang my hat on. I need some kind of a supernatural event that will demonstrate that you're really looking after me here." So Jesus, "All right, come. Okay, here's your miracle. Come." Let's see. Could I have a, is there a choice of three here? No, there's one. Come. And so Peter was required to do what? Peter took his life in his hands. Don't discount what Peter was asked to do here. Because why? Why was Peter asked to take this great risk? Why did the Lord require him to take his life in his hands? Because he didn't believe that God was looking after his situation out there. He said, "I've got to see some kind of a miraculous event before I'm going to believe." And Jesus, "All right, you want a miracle? Here's what it's going to take. Step out of the boat. Take your life in your hands. Step off the end of the boat. I've got to say to you, I don't know. I don't know that I could do that. I don't know that I've ever been asked to do anything quite like that. I don't know that I could do it if it was required of me. But Peter did step off. Wonder of wonders, he had his miracle. Oh, yes, okay, it's you. I know you're on the job. I'm no longer afraid of drowning. I'm no longer afraid the ship is going to go down. I'm not afraid of the wind. I'm not afraid of the waves. I've got you. Don't I? And in the midst of his miracle, in the midst of his deliverance, notice that the waves were still boisterous and the wind did not quit. The circumstances of his life were still in a complete uproar. You don't have to have everything going your way in order to have peace. In fact, you rarely will. And if that's the only way you have peace, you can look forward to only minimal times of that during your life, from now until the time you check out. Because life's not like that. Job said, just like sparks always go upward from a fire, so is man born to trouble. Just as sure and just as certain. And so Peter looked around at the waves, even though he had his eyes a few minutes earlier on the Master. He was miraculously walking on the water. He looked around at his situation and he thought, oh, here's Jesus. Yes, he's come to deliver me. He's come to help me. I've got this miracle working in my life, but these things are still threatening me. And when he began to look at them, you understand how that works. When he took his eyes off the Lord, began to look at his circumstances once again, he immediately began to sink. Why? Because the water was not holding him up. What was holding him up? You told me before. It was his faith that was holding him up. And what caused him to sink? The loss of his faith. And so Jesus said to him, when he saw himself sinking, when he felt himself sinking, the scripture says, when he saw the wind boisterous, when he looked around him and saw that the wind was still boisterous, he was now afraid. What did Jesus say not to be? Don't be afraid. Peter made the mistake to fear. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him. And when he caught him, he rebuked him. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Faith is in 1 John, we're told faith is the victory that causes us to triumph, always get the victory. Faith is the thing, the force that produces victory in our lives, and that which destroys faith is our fear. If we refuse to believe what God said, Jesus said, come. Peter began to walk on the water. As long as he believed what Jesus said, he was able to walk on the water and to render all of the circumstances of his life of none effect to him. But when he refused to believe the word of God, when Jesus said, come, and instead believed the noise of the circumstances of his life round about him. I know my wife said she's leaving. Bless God, he joined us together. And what God has joined together, no man can put asunder, not even her. I refuse to believe that she will leave me. She can't leave me. Jesus, my eyes are on you. Does that work? So she comes in and has some papers. She's leaving. Lord, my eyes are on you. I don't even see that wind over here. I don't hear those waves rolling. Those are life circumstances. How do we put this kind of truth to work in our lives? We believe what God says. Now, I want to make this point in bringing together all that I've said this morning. I want to make this very, very important point. We serve a God of the miraculous. We serve a God of the supernatural. We serve a God who is not troubled by any of the circumstances of this life. He's above all those things, has control and power over all of those things. He demonstrated that when he was here on the earth. He says to the wind, "Peace, be still." It's quiet. We serve a supernatural, miraculous God who can intervene in the natural course of natural events when he so desires to do it. But the thing that we need to live a successful Christian life is not to skip from one miracle to another. How do I know that? Well, I know it from this story, but I also know from, let's turn to the book of Hebrews just a moment. Christians miss this. We all miss it. Hebrews 10. Listen to this. This truth is in the scripture three times. This just happens to be one of them. I'll read several verses to get the context, but then I want to concentrate on one phrase. Hebrews 10:35. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." Don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw away your faith. Don't throw away your confidence in a loving, caring God. "Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth be removed." John and I did not consult on this morning's service, but the Holy Ghost knew what the preached message was going to be and also encouraged us with the word in song. Even though the earth is removed, even though I get up one morning and there's no earth, that's what that means. Even though the mountains, who has the power to move the mountains from where they are to the middle of the sea? That will never happen. Even though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea, and I say, oh, the world is coming to an end. Woe is me. See, that would be the reaction. No, therefore I will not fear. Therefore I will not fear. I choose not to fear. Do you know you can choose not to be afraid? You can choose to accept the fear that tries to fall upon you, or you can choose to reject it. I will not be afraid. I will not fear this. I will not allow this fear to reside in me. I refuse. "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience," that is constant steadfastness, "that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by miracles." Whoa. The just shall live by what? The just shall live by faith. God is a miracle-working God. I'm grateful for that. I've seen his miracles. I have been recipient of his miracles. I have participated in his miracles. I will declare until the day I die that God is a God of the miraculous, the supernatural. Nothing is impossible with God. But we are taught in the scripture that we are not to base our life on the miraculous intervention of God. We're to base our life on believing in what he said. And so God gave Peter a miracle, a miraculous deliverance. But when Peter, the miracle did not support him. Let's go back to Matthew 14 again. The miracle did not support him. The miracle was lost when Peter lost his faith. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? The miracle was not stronger than Peter's lack of faith. Hear me now. God gave Peter a wonderful miracle, but Peter lost the benefit of it when he became afraid. And Jesus said to him, this is where you missed it. Verse 31. "O thou of little faith, wherefore or why did you doubt?" Why did you doubt? The miracle I gave you was to help you believe. The miracle I gave you was to strengthen your faith. The miracle was not to deliver you. The miracle was to develop you in your confidence. The miracle was to strengthen you so that you would trust me. But when you doubt me, you lost the benefit of the miracle and you sink. Amen. I believe that's the message for us this morning. That God will move supernaturally and miraculously in our life, but that is not the way we are to live. We are to live by our faith. Faith in what? Faith in a God who loves us. Faith in a God who knows us. Faith in a God who forgives us. Faith in a God who touches us. Faith in a God who is real and alive. Faith in a God who heals us. Faith in a God who is a Father who will provide for us. Faith in a God who will save us and take us to His heaven when we die. Faith in the promises in which He has made in His Word. I think so many of us, we get to the place where we are, and especially as we get older, we get to the place when the storms arise and the waves are boisterous, and when the circumstances of this life are so fretful, our prayer is, God, give me a miracle. Our prayer ought to be, oh God, I trust you. Oh Lord, I know that you're with me. Oh God, I know that you're looking out for me. I know that deliverance is mine. Do you understand the difference? And many Christians are frustrated because what we want is a miracle when what we need is a stronger faith. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Amen. Let's everyone stand, please. And if you will, if you'll take a hymnal, there's one nearby you there.